He said, the mind and body are marvelous mechanisms, for mine endured this agony 2 more years. Sometimes I stole from my wife's slender purse when it, morning terror and madness were on me. Again, I swayed dizzily before an open window or the medicine cabinet where there was poison, cursing myself for a weakling. There were flights from city to country and back as my wife and I sought escape. Then came the night when the physical and mental torture was so hellish, I feared I would burst through my window sash and all. Somehow I managed to drag my mattress to a lower floor lest I suddenly leap. A doctor came with a heavy sedative. Next day found me drinking both gin and sedative. Anybody in here identify with Bill Wilson? This combination soon landed on the rocks. People feared for my sanity, so did I. I could eat little or nothing when drinking, and I was 40 pounds underweight. We see a guy now reaching the end of the road. He's dying from malnutrition. He's all of his calories, he's getting it out of alcohol, hardly eating at all. And if he didn't get some help pretty soon, he wouldn't have been here much longer. He said, my brother-in-law, and this is a fellow named Dr. Leonard Strong, married to Bill's sister. My brother-in-law is a physician, and through his kindness and that of my mother, I was placed in a nationally known hospital for the mental and physical rehabilitation of alcoholics. This is the town's hospital in New York City. Under the so-called belladonna treatment, my brain cleared. Hydrotherapy and mild exercise helped much. The belladonna treatment was a drug they used for withdrawal purposes. Today they use Valium. In those days they were using belladonna. Hydrotherapy is water treatment. In one of the countries we visited, we went to an old-time, what they call treatment center, old-time sanitarium. And they had a place in there where they treated the alcoholics with hydrotherapy. They strapped them on a gurney, took them into a shower room, and there were shower heads all the way around the room, alternating hot and cold water. And they were in there for about 30 minutes. Now, it doesn't cure alcoholism, but it sure as hell make a clean drunk out of you. I'll guarantee you that. He said, best of all, I met a kind doctor who explained that though certainly selfish and foolish, I had been seriously ill, bodily and mentally. Dr. Silkworth sits down with him, explains to him his ideas about the physical allergy and the obsession of the mind. And this is the effect it had on Bill. He said, it relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, though it often remains strong in other respects. My incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. For 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. I went to town regularly and even made a little money. Surely this was the answer, self-knowledge. For the first time, Bill understood his problem. He understood that it wasn't willpower, it wasn't moral character, it wasn't sin, that it was an actual illness, an illness of the body, as well as an illness of the mind. And he assumed, now that I know what's wrong with me, I'll never have to drink again. Let's see where he goes from here.
Excuse me. But it was not, for the frightful day came when I drank once more. The curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. After a time, I returned to the hospital.
Okay, the first trip was in the summer of 1933. Now we're in the summer of 1934. He's been drinking again now for almost a year.
He said, this was the finish, the curtain, it seemed to me. My weary and despairing wife was informed that all end with heart failure during delirium tremens, or I would develop a wet brain perhaps within a year. She would soon have to give me over to the undertaker of this island. He said, they did not need to tell me. I knew him almost welcome the idea. That's why you can't scare an alcoholic. You say, if you don't quit drinking, you're going to die. You can't scare him. Because Bill was laying in and he was real sick. And he heard Lois talking to Dr. Silkworth. And she said, Doctor, is there any hope for him? And he said, no, Lois, there's no hope for him. We'll have to give him over to the undertaker of the asylum, or he's going to die during delirium tremens. There's no hope. He said, they did not need to tell me. I knew and almost welcomed the idea. It was a devastating blow to my pride. I, who had thought so well of myself and my abilities, of my capacity to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. Now I was plunged into the dark, joining that endless possession of solitude had gone on before. I thought of my poor wife. There had been much happiness after all. What would I not give to make amends? But that was over now. You see, Bill is without hope. He is totally hopeless and powerless over his situation. And that's where we find Bill, without hope. And we all know we can't live long without hope. And Bill was at that moment, at that point, hopeless.
Now let's look at this next statement very carefully. He said, no words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. I've never seen a better description of step one. No step one written in those days. But this is where Bill admitted complete defeat. Alcohol had become his master. He was absolutely, completely powerless over alcohol. This is where Bill took step one. Now, if that should happen to you and I today, well, chances are we'd say, well, that being the case, I guess I better go to AA. But Bill didn't have any AA to go to. He's in the best treatment facility he knows of. And even though he's admitted complete defeat, taking what we know today as step one, the only thing he can do is leave that hospital, try to stay sober. He said, trembling, I stepped from the hospital a broken man. Fear sobered me for a bit. Then came the insidious insanity of that first drink. And on Armistice Day, 1934, I was off again. Everyone became resigned to the certainty that I would have to be shut up somewhere or would stumble along to a miserable end. How dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that was the beginning of my last debauch. I was soon to be catapulted in what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. I saw happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Near the end of that bleak November, and I imagine it was a pretty bleak November, he took a drink on the Armistice Day, couldn't stop drinking. The allergies got him. He's approaching the end of November. And he said, with a certain satisfaction, I reflected there was enough gin concealed about the house to carry me through that night and the next day. My wife was at work. I wondered whether I dared hide a full bottle of gin at the head of her bed. I would need it before daylight. My musing was interrupted by the telephone. The cheery voice of an old school friend asked if he might come over. He was sober. You see, that's in squiggly writing. He was sober.
That's italic.
When you see something in squiggly writing, it's pretty important in here. Bill is amazed. He's amazed that Debbie here is in New York, and he's sober. He said, it was years since I could remember his coming to New York in that condition. I was amazed. Rumor had it that he had been committed for alcoholic insanity. I wondered how he had escaped. This is a guy named Debbie Thatcher. And Debbie and Bill used to drink together back in their school days. And Abby, the last Bill had heard about him, he was to be committed to the state insane asylum in the state of Vermont for alcoholic insanity. That's what they used to do with people like us. Now, long before we had the treatment centers, they would haul us in front of the judge. The judge would commit us to the state insane asylum for alcoholic insanity, and you were to stay there until you got well. No predetermined time. You were to stay there until you got well. And Bill heard that's what had happened to Abby Thatcher. But here's Abby in New York City, and he's not in a nut house, and he's sober. And Bill is really amazed by that.